Good choice.
Welcome. We're going to call the Joint Subcommittee on Ways and Means, Natural Resources to order, and welcome everybody. Thank you for waiting. And with that, I'm going to turn it over.
Today you have a work session. If you want to open a work session on House Bill 4003A.
All right. Open a work session on House Bill 4003A. Paul.
The chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4003A is a bill relating to the Department of State Agriculture's food safety fees. In statute, the fees are laid out, have been laid out for a number of years, specifically to the dollar amount. And the change in this bill would allow the department to charge up to 3% of the increase of the previous year's fee for each of the categories. This, again, is the food safety program, has a number of categories like bakers, egg handlers, and other industries that they regulate. And I believe the provisions would sunset in 2019. And Lauren Henderson, the assistant director of the department, is here if you have any questions about the bill. And the bill came out of the House committee.
Thank you. Committee, do we have any questions?
We have the agency here.
Mm-hmm. Lauren Henderson from the department is here.
Yes.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mr. Henderson, we're fixing in statute how much the fee can increase, right, to no more than 3%?
Good morning. For the record, Lauren Henderson, the Assistant Director with the Department of Agriculture. Co-Chair Jensen, yes, what we're doing is taking the fees right now are hard-coded into the statute. If this were to pass, we would immediately, by rule, adopt those same fees that are currently in the statute. And then the department, if it was needed, by rule, could increase those fees up to 3% a year if needed. It does not automatically raise the fees. We would need to, by rule, do that process to raise those.
Follow up. Is it in the statute that you'll adopt the existing fees, or are we taking the department's word?
No, the bill that you have in front of you directs the department to immediately, by rule, adopt the current fees.
Okay. Follow up. One of the things, I don't know, probably a lot of the audience is too young to remember, but I recall in our history where we, a few years ago, had a 13, 14, 15 and more percent inflation factor in given years. What happens if we get caught in one of those scenarios?
Co-Chair Jensen, I anticipate we would be back here. Certainly, this is a very important program for us as our food safety program. We've worked very closely with the industry over the years to maintain the integrity of this program and the importance of it. And so I would anticipate if that were to happen and our cash balance was getting to a point, as it almost did in 2005, that we would be back talking with you all.
Just comments, not a question at this point. I appreciate your statement that this is a very important function of the Department of Agriculture. Very much. I certainly would see it that way. While I know that you would be back here if we probably had it, and so would half the rest of people in the universe, that we live in, be back if we had a 14% inflation factor come in. The timing might not be, all that easy to make it work out, sort of thing. But at least I'll be willing to trust that the gods have played enough games with us in the economy, you know, for the first at least quarter of this new century, and not have to worry about that until, you know, somewhere way down the line. So no other questions from, or comments from me.
Thank you, Representative. Committee, any other questions? Seeing none, I would take a motion.
Madam Chair, I would move the House Bill 4003A as...
We have no amendments, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
A recommendation.
Recommendation is to send the bill to a full. I would also note for the record that the department has no plans to do the 3% increase for the current biennium. At this point, the fees for the food safety program, the billing goes out in July. So this is to prepare for the 13-15 biennium so that the agency can get their bills out for that biennium with a higher fee if necessary. And again, LFO recommends approval of House Bill 4003 to the full committee.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah.
I would move the LFO recommendation for House Bill 4003A to be referred to the Ways and Means, full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Jensen moves House Bill 4003 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
No.
Any objections? Okay, so moved.
Carriers.
Carriers. I will carry that one.
Okay. And in the House?
Okay.
And in the House, any
maybe not.
Any volunteers?
I'll do it.
Representative Byer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You don't want
to carry. Oh, I'm closing the work session on House Bill 4003. Next up, we have Department of Energy. Request for to approve retroactively the submission of a federal grant.
Okay.
Let's open a work session on that. On the Department of Energy federal grant request. Staff?
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, the Department of Energy is coming forward with a grant request to apply to the U.S. Department of Agriculture for a $100,000 grant in partnership with another organization for rural energy renewable development.
Very good. And Director Repine, you can bring up anybody you need to with you.
They're fine.
We're okay. We'll see. I wasn't suggesting anything.
We'll see how this plays out.
Lifeline maybe, but later.
Mr. Co-Chair, committee members, for the record, I am Bob Repine, Acting Director for the Department of Energy. As the LFO staff has indicated, we're asking for a request for approval of a United States Department of Agricultural grant in an amount of $100,000. This is a grant to focus on agricultural producers in rural small communities and small businesses. The intent of the grant is to target 8 to 10 small businesses for energy use audits for the potential use of renewable energy technologies. This effort is directly aligned with the agency's mission to save energy and promote renewable resources. We are collaborating this request with Northwest Sustainable Energy for Economic Development in this application request. They will be a participating partner with us on this application. They will be assisting on the data work and assisting with technical assistance and coordinating the documentation that's necessary to meet the requirements of the grant. For staffing purposes, we will use an in-kind approach, identifying one of our policy analyst staff to approximately 0.2 FTE to complete the audits and provide technical assistance on renewable energy technologies when projects have been selected and making recommendations to them. There is also another third party involved in this. We'll offer up $15,000 in funds to pay for the data research that's necessary to complete the needed reports for the request. We'll have any other questions? I'll take them.
Yep.
It says 8 rural businesses this will apply for. Have those businesses been chosen already? Do you go out or do you know who those, give me an example of the type of businesses that that would be.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Senator, the applicants, from what I understand, have not been chosen yet. They would be looking at agricultural applications where energy efficiencies might be found in both conservation and renewable, actually. So they would be working with agricultural communities around the state of Oregon, trying to help self-identify those. This would be everything from a dairy, possibly, to create some efficiencies that might lead them to use solar, to maybe use biofuels as an alternative way of removing their waste. It could be everything involving solar panels to power remote pumps that might be pumping water areas for cattle that are not probable to have electricity to run extension wires that far. So a variety of applications. We don't know exactly where they'll land on who the applications and what process they'll use, but we'll work closely with them to make sure that there is a good representative pool for the state of Oregon.
Great. Thanks. So as a quick clarification, you've already started receiving requests, or have you done some of the work yet?
No, Mr. Chairman, committee members, we've not started any of the work. Actually, the work would be accomplished by the partner. They will be doing that, coordinating and contracting with the agricultural communities. We'll work with them in concert. Our role primarily will be to review the data and make assist them in making recommendations on solutions that could be presented to the agricultural community in their what they're looking for to make efficiencies happen.
Okay. Yeah, Co-Chair Jensen.
In light of being consistent with all agencies when they come in for grants, I note that you must have some money left over someplace that we've over-budgeted the agency for, because you've got some cash that you're going to be putting up as part of your match on this. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Co-Chair Jensen, ours is an in-kind match. So what we will be doing is using existing staff that is currently paid through our assessment fees that we have. And in effect, by us doing this work, we will actually receive funds from the grant, a small portion of it, because it has to be divided between us and the other partners. And then those funds will be used to offset the cost of that staff, which will then save some of the money that's normally associated with our assessment fees that we charge our utilities.
Follow up? I thought I heard you indicate there was some other money that was going to be needed.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chair Jensen, and committee members, my reference was there's a third party that's involved in this that is contributing $15,000 worth of data accessories that they will use in assisting with this work that we are undertaking.
And that doesn't cost us anything?
That's the third party's cost, not our cost.
Okay.
Our only cost is the in-kind using our staff to do the analysis of the data once it's been collected.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Coacher.
Of course. Are there any other questions from committee members? Okay. Seeing no questions, do we have an LFO recommendation?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the request to apply for the funds, with the understanding that the Department of Energy will return to a future emergency board for additional funds, federal funds expenditure limitation if the grant is awarded.
So we have an LFO recommendation. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move LFO's recommendation.
Co-Chair Beyer moves the LFO recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, are there any objections? Seeing no objections, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we'll close a work session on the Department of Energy request. Oh, and first we will need a carrier. Who would like to carry this to full? I'm looking down at that end.
I'll do it.
Okay. Senator Thompson will carry.
Representative McLean off the hook.
And we'll close the work session. And next up, we'll open up an informational hearing on the Department of Forestry's budget note update. LFO.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Department of Forestry is here to provide you an update on the progress that they've made on the budget note regarding the private forest program and their continuing efforts to take this into the next biennium. This is an informational hearing, so there's no action required by the committee.
Take it away.
Very good. Good morning, Chair Edwards, co-chairs Jensen and Beyer, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Doug Decker, Oregon State Forester, Director of the Department of Forestry. I'm joined by Peter Daugherty, Chief of our Private Forest Division. We're here this morning at your request to provide an update on our progress associated with implementing the two budget notes for a private forest portion of our budget, which you approved for the 11-13 biennium. Before Peter leads us through some discussion about the budget note process, I wanted to kind of put a framer on the overall restoration effort that your action last year made possible. We've referred to these three pieces, which are the two budget notes and the restoration of several positions, as our rebuilding process in our private forest program. As you crafted our 11-13 budget, you brought back much of the capacity for field administration of the Forest Practices Act that had been lost in the 09-11 session. We've been prudent with these resources, and knowing the budgetary uncertainty over the last year, we've moved forward in phases. In phase one, we added back 12 field foresters, which made an immediate positive impact in service delivery on the ground, and then we began to evaluate the remaining critical needs for phase two of that restoration. We identified a wildlife specialist and a water quality specialist. These two positions are on hold pending the hiring freeze at the moment. Phase two of the rebuilding process, again, within our authorized budget, will include the hiring of another 7 to 10 field forester positions that can be added back based on the work associated with the budget notes that we'll talk about in a moment. But we haven't added these positions back yet because we intend to rebuild the private forest program based on the needs and the delivery methods of the 21st century, which our budget note homework has been preparing for us. So this would be, I think, a good point to segue to Peter to talk specifically about the two budget notes.
Co-chairs Edwards, Beyer, and Jensen, and members of the committee. For the record, I am Peter Daugherty, Private Forest Division Chief. I appreciate the opportunity to provide an update on the Private Forest Budget Implementation Plan, focusing on progress made in addressing the two budget notes. As Doug indicated, the department developed a prudent implementation plan that phases in resources to address immediate capacity needs, allows the efficiency studies to define longer-term needs, and frees up resources for the compliance audit. We will continue to implement this plan based on outcomes from this legislative session. As directed in Budget Note 1, the department is designing a compliance audit program that allows the contracting of the production phase while retaining in-house quality assurance and quality control. We will use an external review committee to evaluate the design of the audit. Thus far, we've added capacity to lead this design. We added a monitoring coordinator who will lead our effectiveness monitoring program as well as design the compliance audit. We are currently reviewing the last compliance audit we did in 2002 to identify rules, develop draft protocols, and field test those protocols. Our expected schedule is as follows. In March, we will convene the external review committee, finalize the rule sets that we'll be auditing and the methods for those audits. We'll finalize the analysis and the reporting requirements and the quality assurance, quality control approaches. We're planning to develop the request for proposal for the contract in April and complete the contracting process in May, allowing for data collection this June through November. This schedule will keep us on track for reporting to the legislature in January 2013 as directed by the budget note. The department has completed Budget Note 2's independent assessment on cost savings, efficiencies, and cost avoidance strategies. Attachment 2 in the handout has the project summary report. We are currently implementing the recommendations as part of a continuous improvement approach to administering the Forest Practices Act. As discussed at the interim committee report, we completed the value stream mapping process, identified 27 priority opportunities for improvement, and selected two priority opportunities for detailed analysis in Kaizen events. As I reported the last time, the first Kaizen event focused on Forest Practice Act operations inspection process and accomplishment reportings. I mentioned that in the current state, the process has 42 steps, 17 decisions, 14 delay points. The future process has only 18 steps, 7 decisions, and 5 delay points. We also completed a second Kaizen focused on the submissions of notifications. The future state eliminates 18 steps and 5 decisions in this process. The team also developed 37 potential improvements to our notification process. Following the assessment, the department also conducted next steps planning to identify the implementation phase of improving. So it includes some just do it's or spot improvements that we can move forward on our own, some potential future Kaizen events to redesign other parts of our process, a notification business process pilot project, and an information technology launch for an electronic landowner data transfer system. So we are currently piloting the improved notification process at 3 field offices across the state. The pilot started in mid-February and run through the end of April. We anticipate that we'll be able to reduce the processing time for notifications by approximately 10%, and the pilot will be used to complete the reengineering process prior to state rollout. We've also started an electronic landowner data transfer project to define a technological solution for electronic processing of notifications. We have completed the Voice of the Customer event, a 2-day session to gather input from landowners and forest operators who are experienced in submitting notifications. We followed that with a Voice of the Business event, where we had a 2-day session gathering input from information technology staff to begin to develop a conceptual design of an electronic notification system. Next steps would include requirements and analysis and future state proof of concept. We'd have to do system design, development, and or procurement, and then we'd have to implement the system. With that, I'm glad to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for the committee, from the committee? I have a couple. You probably touched on it, but I was processing while you were talking here. Was the Kaizen process a largely internal process within the department, correct or not?
Senator Edwards and members of the committee, we had developed a core team which included our field foresters, administrative staff, and unit foresters, first line of supervisors, work with a third-party contractor that came in and ran the events. Most of our Kaizen events included landowner input at some part of the process.
Okay, thank you. And so that's what I was wondering. I assumed that most of the Kaizen work was internal with the third party, but internal with department personnel. But I was wondering at what point you were informed by landowners as to what some of the issues might be.
Co-Chair Edwards, members of the committee, hearing the voice that I think Peter referred to, the Voice of the Customer Kaizen event, we actually had a 2-day session where we involved the landowner community in telling us what their needs, concerns, where they saw opportunities are. I think we have looked at the Kaizen process as something that almost as a partnership to produce something that's meaningful for us and that also works for the landowner community.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Other comments? Co-Chair Jensen?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. you've kind of outlined, you know, what you've done. I'm perhaps a little more interested in the qualitative response. What is your sense or feeling as far as where we're at right now and where you believe the agency needs to be at? And I know we're somewhat of a hold on some of these things due to the budgetary constraints that have come down from powers higher than this committee. So tell me a little bit your feelings as far as what has been accomplished and not what was accomplished, mm-hmm. but your feelings about what has been accomplished and what the prognosis is for accomplishing those in the next biennium.
Very good. Co-Chair Jensen, members of the committee, I would describe where we are as I feel like we've done the homework. You know, we've done the homework relative to the notification process on the compliance audit side. I feel that is ready to go. I think we've had our staff as well as members of the landowner community helping to shape what that compliance audit will look like. We have that queued up and ready to go for this spring and for this coming field season, so I feel good about that. I know that there was discussion when we were before you last year about the importance of having a compliance audit to the Forest Practices Act. We feel good about being able to do that and fortunate to be able to have the resources to do that. On the notification side, I feel like we have we've done the homework on that. I think we're probably, as you told us yourself in one of those earlier meetings, the importance of, kind of getting the process right before you need to implement the technology. And I feel like that's where we focus. I think we're at the cusp of ready to begin the technology discussion. On the phase-in side of the positions, again, as Peter indicated and I've indicated, we've been prudent about that. We have not phased in all of those positions. We've tried to do that on a needs basis. So I feel good about where we are. I think we're poised. We'll be back before you at the beginning of the next session and bring you kind of a snapshot of the compliance audit data. And I think we can tell you more about where our notification process is as well. And lastly, I'd say that I sensed an appreciation and a desire from our landowner participants who helped us think through the notification process that we really are moving into the 21st century using the technology in the right way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have another question. So you said there were 27 opportunities for improvement. You selected two. Could you tell us some about future work that you might do on mm-hmm. others?
Mm-hmm.
And also what type of resources you would need to do the work on others, assuming that there's work to be done on the first two mm-hmm. for implementation.
Senator Edwards and members of the committee, I'll focus in on a couple spot process events, which we can do with our existing capacity and won't take over any other, take additional resources. We're looking at the Northern Spotted Owl Protection Process as a process where business reengineering can improve the speed at which we do those reviews and provide the protection for those resources. We're also looking at a written plan review process. There's a number of statutorily required written plans. There was a legislative change this last session which allowed us to waive certain written plans. We're moving forward with that process, which we had estimated would save about 3,000 hours per year of stewardship forester time. We're also looking at our civil penalties process and seeing ways that we can move that more quickly through the civil penalties process and use up less staff time for that process. In terms of the next steps, which we have ongoing, we've scheduled the requirements analysis for the future state and process for the notification processing. We're estimating that would require about 25,000 of IT specialist time to move forward on that. system design, development, or procurement. We've budgeted about $345,000 to carry that process through the biennium to, with an additional $50,000 for system implementation. This is a major overhaul, which would provide something analogous to a web-based notification processing system. So those are some of the key highlights of what we have scheduled for the rest of this biennium.
So as a follow-up to that, then, you said that's work that you have scheduled for the rest of this biennium. Do you see, I'm almost hearing a five-year plan here in terms of scope of work. How long do you anticipate this is going to take? And just start with that, I guess.
Senator Edwards and members of the committee, in terms of the electronic data process notification system, the plan is to be able to implement by the end of the biennium. In terms of the overall improvement process, we would like to not have that end. We would prefer to look at our Forest Practice Administration as a process of continuous improvement and adapting as need changes and as technology adopts.
Other questions?
I'm fine.
No. Co-Chair Jensen? Okay. That's all the questions that I have. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'd like to comment that I appreciate the work that's taken place at the Department of Forestry, and I am disappointed, I guess is the right word, that we ran into as many budget restraints as we have this time. It has obviously slowed down where we would like to have been. At least as far as this committee, I think, was concerned, where we would like to have been. But I do appreciate very much the efforts that are being made to have been made and that are being made to continue to try to move forward with it. And we'll just hope for a little better forecast in the upcoming biennium to get back on track.
And we thank you for your help there. Thank you.
Thank you. Susie?
Just for the good of the order, there are no meetings scheduled for next Thursday.
So. And we do not have to accept this report.
That's right.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay.
There are meetings scheduled, but they could be. We are on 24-hour.
Are we? We're on
1 hour.
One hour.
Okay. So we need to hang on to our hats because we'll...
You may.
Really, we could be in here at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Such. Okay.
Great. So seeing no further comments or questions, we are adjourned.
Full assurance.